in school. I'm sure you don't remember me. And now it's been 10 years. I'm still wondering who to be. And I'd love to mix in circles, cliques, and social coteries. That's me. Hand me my nose ring.
Can we be happy?
Show me the mosh pit.
Can we be happy?
Hey, it's 6:01 here at KBOO, and you're listening to The Underground, and the theme this month is travel, and the first piece we have is by Zoe and Callisti, also known as Jim and Johnny.
Okay, guess what I heard. What? Jimmy, my boyfriend, he's gonna be on air.
OMG, so is my, well, like, brother, but not really my brother. Okay, well, he's just a really good friend. Johnny.
Huh. Oh my god. Okay, let's get him on.
Yeah, here they are. Applause for Jimmy and Jeffy.
Hey.
Hey, dude.
How are you?
I'm good.
Haven't seen you so long.
I know, man.
So, we're supposed to talk about travel, so not what I want to talk about.
I know, but, like, it's, like, cool, dude.
Yeah, it is.
I travel.
Hi, me too, man. So, where have you traveled?
Dude, like, many places. Like, I've been in New Mexico, and, like, Russia, and Chile, and, like, New York, and, like, Germany, dude.
Germany?
Sweden was sweet.
Whoa. Dude. So, I've been to China, and Boston, and Australia, and Brazil, and Antarctica, and India, and Turkey, and Ohio, and Oregon.
Dude, I went to Oregon, and then, like, a few months after that, I went to Portland. Yeah,
Portland.
Dude. It was awesome.
Yeah.
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 Do you travel a lot?
Dude, no. Why would you get that?
Yeah. I don't either, man. I'll go to a few places here and there, like the Safeway.
Yeah.
And, like,
Trader Joe's. One time, I told my grandpa that I was gonna go travel.
I went to California.
And get him a sandwich. No way! I went to Florida, and I raced a turtle, and the turtle won $5 because I lost.
What's it gonna do with $5, man? That's a lot of money for a turtle.
I know, dude.
Is he gonna buy himself a new shell?
I think so.
Where do you want to travel that you haven't traveled yet, man?
Dude, to, like, Fred Meyer.
Fred Meyer?
Yeah.
Walmart. That's where I go.
Yeah, dude.
The mall's too fashionable, man.
Too big. Can't walk around at all.
Yeah, it's so big and roomy. I have no space.
Yeah.
Whoa. Why do you want to travel there? To Bi-Mart, was it?
You know, Bi-Mart sounds more fun than Fred Meyer.
You should go there, man.
I'm gonna go.
Man. Cool.
Yeah,
rad.
Dude. So you're telling me about, like, something?
Oh, yeah. I forgot, though. Let's sing about everything we traveled
yeah,
to.
Yeah, ready? Let's go.
Ohio, Portland, Oregon, California, China, Boston, Australia, Brazil, Antarctica, India, Turkey.
Japan.
Japan, Egypt, Chile.
Chile.
Egypt, Chile, Russia, Germany,
Antarctica.
And man, my favorite place is Portland. How about you sing a song about Portland?
Sounds great.
Portland is the place where I like to go. Lots of cool bands and lots of cool stuff, especially the KBOO Radio Youth Collective.
I like Oregon and California. Bye.
Thank you for listening, dudes.
Dude.
All right, that was Zoe and Callisti and Johnny and Jim. And that was them talking about travel. Up next, we have a piece by Kim, and she interviews a family friend about travel.
This is Kim, and I'm here with Ellen, who's been to over 40 countries worldwide. I have some questions I would like to ask you.
Thank you, Kim. It's nice to be with you today.
So, where is your favorite place that you've traveled?
One of my favorite places is Ghana in West Africa. I spent several weeks in Accra, Ghana, which is the capital of Ghana. I really enjoyed it there because, first of all, everybody speaks English, so it was really easy to get around, and everybody was very willing to help me. I enjoyed the people there and the places that I saw. I also collect and like to work with beads, and Ghana is known for their beads. They have a lot of unique trading beads and handmade beads, as well as seed beads. So I was able to purchase some beads and bring them back here and give them as gifts. Also, Ghana is also famous for chocolate. A lot of the cocoa beans are actually grown in West Africa, and Ghana recently, I believe in the last few years, added their own chocolate processing factory. Prior to that, all the chocolate went to Europe to be processed to be made into candy and chocolates, but now they actually make Ghanaian chocolate as well.
Nice. And how old were you when you first went to Ghana?
How old was I? Well, when I first went to Ghana, I was in my 40s, I think. I've been traveling quite a bit for a number of years, both for business as well as for pleasure.
If you could pick one place in the world to travel, where would it be?
One of the places I'd like to go back to is Ukraine, to Kiev, Ukraine. I was there in the late 1990s after the breakup of the former Soviet Union, and I was working there for several years, and I would travel, I would say about twice a year to Ukraine, and I really enjoyed the people there. It was the first time they were setting up a new government in a long time, and it was an opportunity for the people of Ukraine to actually set up their own infrastructure and govern themselves and make their own decisions. So it's been several years since I've been there, and I'd like to have the opportunity to go back to see how they're doing, how things have progressed. When I was first there, there was no McDonald's, there was very little Coca-Cola, and the last time I was there, they actually had a McDonald's and more Western companies, including a hotel chain, were planning to build a hotel. So I'd like to see how it's changed. The people are very nice there. Once again, they understood the opportunity for entrepreneurship and starting businesses, which was very unique to them. They didn't have a lot of experience, of course, under the Soviet system for capitalism and doing things on their own. So it was really nice to see a lot of entrepreneurship and a lot of companies establish themselves. So I'd like to go back there to see how some of my former coworkers are doing and to see how things have progressed. I'd also like to go back to Ghana because I was involved there working with the central bank and the stock exchange, and I'd like to see how they're doing and see some of my friends.
Nice. Thank you for letting me interview you.
You're welcome, Kim. Thank you.
All right, cool. That was an interview by Kim about traveling, especially in Ghana. And up next, we have a piece by Aaron. It says, kids from the Metropolitan Learning Center came down to KBU to tell us a story about Storyline and Cake Radio.
Hey, this is Loralee Miller from Metropolitan Learning Center, which is a high school in downtown Portland. I am here with a team of high school collaborators from Cake Radio, and two of them are right here.
Hi, from Cake Radio. My name is Alexander Arneson.
Sarah Ingalls.
What is Metropolitan Learning Center?
Well, it's just an alternative school on, like, the 21st of Gleason in downtown Portland. It's a K-12 school that's alternative. And this was from our Great Books class. We were just supposed to first design a radio station, and we came up with the name Cake.
Cake doesn't actually stand for anything. It was a fierce battle between, like, 20 different names, and Cake and Kern, which is the name of one of our students, actually, it's a nickname, were the last two contenders, so to speak, and Cake won out because there were more girls in the class.
I'm Max Cohen from MLC, and I'm going to be asking some questions to
Moni Mays
and Sarah Lind.
Just in general, what was the class about?
It's a Great Books class, and we read books from different countries and did work concerning those.
There was, like, North America and Russia and then, like, China and other ones. And we read, like, classic books or books from, like, great authors in those countries.
What are the titles of the books you read, or just, like, a general short synopsis of what they're about?
We read A Heartbreaking Work of Staggering Genius by Dave Eggers, Beloved by Toni Morrison, and If Beale Street Could Talk by James Baldwin. A Heartbreaking Work of Staggering Genius is a memoir of this person's parents' death and how he deals with it and how he raises his younger brother Toph after they're suddenly becoming orphans. Beloved is about the death of a baby and how the family deals with that.
Yeah, it ends up actually being the baby that was killed by Setha, the mother. The last book that we had was, like, If Beale Street Could Talk. It was about these young lovers that were fighting for justice and stuff.
I'm Cody Shatola-Shiwi, and we are three other students from the Metropolitan Learning Center. This is Grayson Burke and Julian Tacoma-Palmer. And
hi.
I am interviewing them about, more specifically, the process of creating a radio station. So, when you guys were making the radio station, we each took on these correspondent identities. Do you think this helped you during the process?
Part of the creating of the correspondent identity was that we had to do some research on famous correspondents, so that kind of helped us to find out more about radio correspondents and what it, and stuff about radio stations. And besides that, it just kind of made it more fun, I think.
It definitely made it a lot more entertaining. Like, it also made it easier to record because you didn't have to worry about it being your name.
Do you think that you guys enjoyed this work with audio and doing this alternative media project? Would you choose it again over maybe just writing an essay?
I thought it was a lot more fun than just writing an essay, because you can write essays anywhere, but, you know, you don't really often get a chance to go to a radio station or make one yourself.
It was also a lot of work, though. I would do it again, but not for, like, every class I take.
Both of you are from two of the groups that got picked to come to KBU and talk about what we've been doing. Why do you think your recordings stood out?
I have no idea. I mean, we all put a lot of thought and work into it. None of us took the assignment lightly.
Our group collaborated a lot on our script, and we had worked through it a lot and made sure it was pretty good and made it flow well, and it sounded pretty good.
We're a bunch of high schoolers from the Metropolitan Learning Center and the Pearl District. There are a lot more in-depth interviews, and you can actually listen to our whole podcasts on www.tumblr.com. Thank you very much.
Okay, cool. That was an interview with kids at Cake Radio at MLC. And again, you can listen to the MLC podcast at www.tumblr.com. And up next, we have a piece by Sayla. And she asked multiple people who have visited countries outside of America what the most surprising cultural difference was for them. Let's hear what they had to say.
My name's Sandy.
My name is Carrie, and I'm 11.
My name is Chloe.
My name is Sydney.
And how old are you, Sydney?
10 and a half.
Hey, Kim. What countries out of America have you visited?
Switzerland, England, France, Canada, Mexico, Spain, and Germany.
What was the most surprising cultural difference in Spain?
I found it to be an authentic family exchange with a city that reflects Antonio Gaudí sitting right on the Mediterranean Sea, and the Spaniards live a life ruled of passion.
What countries out of America have you visited?
Spain, Mexico, and Canada.
What was the most surprising cultural difference in Spain?
The drinking age.
What was the most surprising cultural difference in Germany?
Well, there were cigarette vending machines all over the place, and I could buy alcohol at a very, very young age.
Hi, Nikki. What countries out of America have you visited?
I've been to Indonesia, Thailand, Peru, Europe, and New Zealand.
What was the most surprising cultural difference you noticed in Indonesia?
Well, when I was in Indonesia, I spent most of my time in Bali. There especially, the people there put so much intent into their daily lives. Like, everything had a really strong aesthetic. When people were selling fruit, they would put things on display in the most beautiful, colorful ways. And the routine in general was such a strong part of their life. And religion was involved in that, and just the sense of ritual and day-to-day life. And I noticed that the balance of good and evil was very present in Balinese culture, which is mostly a Hindu-based religion. And so it was always present, good, evil. Daily activities included taking ritual offerings around every morning and dropping them off for certain gods, and that it was really beautiful to watch.
Welcome, Joshua. And where did you visit?
Canada.
What was the most surprising cultural difference that you witnessed there?
Well, they're nice.
So, Alex, what countries out of America have you visited?
I've been to Belize, England, France, and Thailand.
What was the most surprising cultural difference in Thailand?
It would have to be Buddhism and the widespread support throughout the country of it. There's monks on the streets, and people give them food, and they're well-respected, and there's monasteries everywhere.
Hey, Lena, what countries out of America have you visited?
I have visited Mexico, Costa Rica, Panama, Guatemala, Belize, Morocco, Hong Kong, and St. Lucia.
Awesome. What was the most surprising cultural difference that you found in Mexico?
People were a lot less stressed. Make a lot less money if they own a lot less, so they theoretically should be more stressed than we are.
Awesome. That was the piece by Sayla again, and we would like to thank Kim, Perry, Tim, Nikki, Joshua, Alex, and Lena for taking part in answering these questions. Seth. Sorry. Thanks, you guys. And now we have an interview by Brianna with Seth.
Huh? I'm good, right? La, 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 la. Are you asking me to talk? Okay, can you do your talk back so I can see if I can hear you? Oh, it'll go on air.
All right.
I'm Annie. La, 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 la.
All right, just a second. All right, awesome. So if you guys want to pitch, you should call KBOO. It's 231-8188, or you can visit at kboo.fm. and we are about to have an interview. Sorry for the mix-up with Brianna and Seth about Seth's travels.
Hi, this is Brianna, and I'm here today with Seth. And I'm going to talk to Seth about a couple of things that he did earlier today. All right. Sorry about that. So again, I'm Brianna, and I'm here with Seth, who recently took a trip around Oregon to find out what it means to be an Oregonian. And so, Seth, what did you expect to learn when you first went on your trip?
Well, I wasn't entirely sure what to expect. You know, I'd been out around eastern Oregon a bit, but, you know, most of my life I've lived in the Portland area. And so, I expected to find something very different. You know, I expected to find this amazing desert environment with these grizzled people, and you know, it was kind of the Wild West to me in some ways.
Awesome. So where exactly did you go?
Well, we spent about 5 days driving around Oregon. We kind of took a big loop through eastern Oregon, through Pendleton, Ontario, Burns, Bend, Prineville, and back out towards Portland.
Wow, that sounds like quite the trip. How long did it take you guys?
Well, we spent, 3 or 4 hours on the road every day for 6 days, I think.
Wow.
Yeah.
So what did you end up hearing from people on your travels? What did they think it meant to be an Oregonian?
Well, people seem to have two very different ideas of what Oregon was. There's the image of Oregon as this, you know, very liberal, you know, hippie tree hugger state, you know, and the Portland, you know, very liberal, very involved. And then there's a very different view of the eastern Oregonian, who's the rancher, who goes out hunting, who, you know, enjoys the natural beauty of the world around them and doesn't go out and think a lot about politics and doesn't go out and get involved in the world around them, but are rather content in their own space.
And you've grown up in Oregon?
Yeah, I was born and raised in North Plains, Oregon.
So what's sort of your take as far as the two sides of Oregon?
Well, you know, there's definitely a divide in Oregon. You know, there's a divide between east and west. There's a divide between wet and dry. There's a divide between urban and rural, a divide between Democratic and Republican. And each of those lines seems to fall kind of north-south through Hood River, through Bend. And it's kind of split the state in two.
Wow. So before you went on this trip, did you expect to see such a divide, or did you kind of expect everything to be how it is around you?
I knew that there was a divide, but I was surprised to see how enforced the divide was in people's minds. People, you know, in eastern Oregon really saw this divide much more than anyone in Portland in western Oregon sees. I think part of that is that Oregon has managed to grow this image of being, you know, the liberal state, the rainy state. You know, Portland has kind of come to typify Oregon. And in eastern Oregon, they're really aware that they're Oregonian, but they aren't what everyone says Oregonian is. And so in that way, I think that people here in the West don't see what people in the East do.
And where do you think was the most different from this part of Oregon? Where do you think was the strangest place to be?
A little town called Gentura, which was on the road to Bend. I think the population was some abysmally small number, like 6 or 12. I don't remember exactly what the number was. But they get garbage service once a month. They have their the road has to close when they decide to drive cattle across it. It's unlike anything I'd ever seen anywhere I'd ever been. And it was shocking, really.
And where did you feel the most like it was the equivalent to Western Oregon while you were there? Or did you?
The closest I ever got was in Bend. And I have a feeling that a bunch of the people I spoke to out further east would say Bend is Western Oregon. But to me, it's the east, having grown up outside of Portland. And it felt surprisingly like home in many ways.
Cool. And, excuse me. When you first went into this trip, did you just wake up one morning and go, I want to see all of Oregon? Or did you plan some epic adventure?
It was really my, this great teacher of mine idea. He managed to put it together as a school trip and had several kids, you know, head out into Eastern Oregon and ask, what is it to be an Oregonian? What is Eastern Oregon? What is Western Oregon? And he really put it together. And when I saw what he had put into it, it immediately captured my imagination. You know, the few times I'd been into Eastern Oregon, I thought it was beautiful. I thought it was interesting. But I'd never been able to learn anything. And this trip gave me the opportunity to do that. And so I jumped at it immediately. I was really fascinated by the idea. And really fascinated by who I met and what I learned.
What did you find the most shocking from what you learned?
I think what was really shocking is the degree to which Eastern Oregon is really aware that they aren't recognized. They aren't recognized by the popular perception of Oregon. One kid in Burns said, you know, that's real Oregon. This isn't, you know, real Oregon. These are pretty much his words. Real Oregon has culture. Real Oregon has cities. And we're just, you know, we're Western Idaho. We're just ranches and desert. And I think that that's something that no one from Portland would really say. But it's something that was visible every moment of the day out there.
Great. Well, we're going to take a quick break to go back to Membership Central, and then I'll be back with Seth in just a few minutes to discuss more about traveling. And this is Brianna, and I'm back in the studio with Seth. And over the break, we were just discussing a little bit more about what exactly does divide Western and Eastern Oregon. And Seth, would you mind just sharing with us what you feel divides those two sections of Oregon most?
Yeah. Oregon, you know, has this big north-south split that's very visible on a map. You know, these mountains, the difference between the very wet Western Oregon and the very dry Eastern Oregon. And that's a big divide that causes a lot of differences, you know, political and cultural. And, you know, Western Oregon very much has an urban culture, an urban image, whereas in the East there aren't any big cities, and so you have a much more close to the land population. You have a, you know, and that kind of results in a more conservative attitude. And so politically, the two sides are different. The fact that most of the population is in the west of the state, you know, is a big difference, because state government is run primarily by the West. And so there's political stress there that kind of accentuates this East-West divide that is so easily visible.
All right. Do you feel like there's any kind of underlying similarity, even though the culture and political beliefs and everything of these two different halves of Oregon are completely different?
Yeah, I think that in the end, Oregon is built around the land. And, you know, in the West, you have this amazing wet Pacific Northwest climate and beautiful forests and amazing rivers. And I think everyone who lives there can very much relate to that. You know, they can relate to the rain and to the trees and to the flowers. And that's something that just about everyone will mention if you ask them what they like about Western Oregon. And I think that in the East, people are also very tied to their environment. People really appreciate the, you know, the sun and the land and the beauty of it, you know. I was talking to someone who said, you know, I love living out here because even if you have to wake up at 3 a.m. to move the cattle to beat the heat, you see that sunrise and you see the stars before it, and it's absolutely beautiful. And I think in that way, everyone in Oregon can appreciate the space around them.
Most definitely. Thank you so much for your time, Seth, and for sharing your experiences with us throughout Oregon.
Thank you.
And here we go. All
right. Thanks, Brianna. That was an awesome interview. And that pretty much brings us to the end of our show for March. Thanks for listening to The Underground. The Underground is hosted every fourth Wednesday by the KBOO Youth Collective. We meet every Wednesday at KBOO at 6 p.m. to plan our show. If you're interested in getting involved, come on down or call our youth advocate, Aaron Yankee, at 503-231-8032, extension 221, or email her at advocate@kboo.org. We also do a music show, Youth Randomonium, the last Friday of every month, from 11 to midnight, and we're always looking for new music by anyone under 21 of any style. Check out our website at kbooyouth.org. The first and third Wednesdays of the month, Circle A Radio airs at this time, and the second Wednesday of the month, Hole in the Bucket, a public affairs show on homelessness, airs from 6 to 7. Next up is Guess Who's Coming to Radio with Jamila. Thanks for listening.